North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. With legal challenges mounting, President Trump says he may invoke the Insurrection Act to deploy National Guard troops to American cities, including Chicago and Portland, Oregon. ABC's Trevor Ault is outside an ICE facility in Portland where city and state leaders are pushing back.
You have President Trump claiming that demonstrators and protesters, violent criminals, in his word, are burning down the city, whereas the police chief and local officials are saying that the demonstrations here are happening really on a single block of a 145-square-mile city.
It has been 2 years since Hamas carried out the October 7th attacks. There is cautious optimism. A U.S. peace deal can be reached and all remaining hostages can be freed, with talks continuing in Egypt. Hurricane Priscilla has intensified in the Pacific. It's now churning just off the west coast of Mexico. And a new tropical storm has formed in the Atlantic, with hurricane season still at its peak. This is ABC News.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation seeking to expand hunting opportunities for disabled military veterans in Wisconsin. The proposed bill would allow those disabled veterans to hunt deer of either sex during any Wisconsin firearm deer hunting season. Active service military members currently receive the same benefit. The new legislation would extend the benefit to veterans with a disability rating of 50% or greater, as well as those receiving compensation benefits due to being unemployable as a result of their disability. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is now accepting seedling orders for trees and shrubs to be planted next spring. According to a press release, the goal of the program is to support reforestation and conservation efforts with native tree seedlings on both public and private lands across the state. Tree seedlings planted will also go towards Wisconsin's Trillion Trees pledge of planting 100 million trees across the state by 2030. Seedling orders can be placed on the Department of Natural Resources website or by mail. Ashland School District officials say the closure of Northland College last spring could have a significant impact on their staffing going forward. According to a Fox 21 report, Superintendent Rob Prater says about 15% of the district's staff were Northland College graduates. They say they managed to fill staffing gaps this year through job fairs, as well as hiring people who had previously worked at Northland College. District officials are also expressing concerns about losing some of the development programs it offered in partnership with the college. Proposed legislation that would see the construction of a production plant converting woody biomass into aviation fuel in Hayward will be discussed in a state Senate committee this week. The Forestry Revitalization Act will be up for public comment in the Senate Insurance, Housing, Rural Issues, and Forestry Committee on Thursday. The proposed facility would be funded with $60 million in Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation tax credits, as well as $150 million in state bonding through the forestry account. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, it was the bottom of the first. The Brewers already losing to the Cubs 3-0 when Andrew Vaughn came to the plate. Two men on, coverage on TBS.
And it's a high fly ball to left field. Happ underneath it in front of the wall. This ball's gone! Andrew Vaughn ties the game with one swing. He's done it.
The Brewers went on to win 7-3. Vaughn on what led to his three-run home run.
You know, William gets a huge hit. Yelly gets a huge hit. You know, I was just trying to keep the momentum going. You know, have a team at bat there. Definitely a big moment. The momentum swing, that was huge.
Game 3 is tomorrow afternoon at 4:08 at Wrigley Field. NBA, the Bucks with a 103-93 win over the Heat in Miami. But guard Cole Anthony had to leave the game after getting stitches in his chin.
Yeah, he's good. It was a deep cut, but he's good. I told him when you play defense, this stuff happens.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Freeze warning overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost, lows in the upper 20s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, and continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the mid-60s. It's 55 right now.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Chuck Collins from Patriotic Millionaires on his new book about how concentrated wealth and power are ruining our lives and our planet.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are in our beautiful state or parts beyond if you're listening on the stream or the app. It is great to have you. Lots of fun tonight on the show. I like to think we have fun every night, but tonight in particular, the focus is comedy. We've got two really funny gents on the show tonight. Our first guest at 6:35 will be Chicago-based comedian Jim Flanagan, who is doing a show outside of Milwaukee soon. We'll talk about that. Jim is very funny. He's been on the show before, and he is a very, very funny guy. He's had his own dry bar special, and I believe one of the clips I sent you, Conrad, it said Nate Land presents or something. That's Nate Bargatze, right? I mean, that's like that's his thing. Okay. So he's one of Nate Bargatze's favorites, too, and he is one of our favorites. Jim will be here at 6:35, and we will talk all things comedy. And then, in the second hour, Door County-based comedian Asher Brooks joins the show. Asher is a comedy club owner, the Firehouse Comedy Club in Door County, in Sturgeon Bay, more specifically, and he is also a comedian. So we're going to talk about a big show they have coming up at the Firehouse later this month as well. I've got a Rodney Dangerfield clip I'm hoping to get to that I thought was very funny. And so we're going to just have some laughs tonight. It's a Tuesday Laugh Fest here at Nightlight. So you are here on an outstanding night. Conrad is behind. He's on the other side of the glass.
Yes.
How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. That 2-0 feeling, it feels good.
What are you talking about? 2-0. It's 2-0.
Well, a little team called the Milwaukee Brewers.
You are everything I don't like about a sports fan. I don't know, Pete. I'm really worried about this series. I just, and then the second you're validated, it's like, the Brewers.
Well, maybe I just do it because you're a Cubs fan. You know,
I think you do it either to be polite or because you really are. You want to set yourself up so you can say, yeah, I knew they didn't have it, whatever. But I will say this. This is the worst way. As a Bear and Cub fan the last few years, we've found the worst ways to win or to lose. I'm sorry. Like the Bears, whether it's bad clock management, whatever, a Hail Mary that goes awry. But the Cubs have just teased us as Cubs fans because they start the game one with a home run in the first inning. And it's like, all right, let's go. And then last night, a 3-run homer. And then the Brewers are like, nope. And then they come back and just wax them.
Yeah. You know, once we took Ashby out, that bullpen put some magic in.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, look, I haven't followed baseball much this year, but that's what I hear. That, like, that's why I can't even get – I'm not going to be that guy either. Like, I've hardly followed baseball, and I'm going to be irate that my team – you know, I'm a casual fan at best. Even last night I had the game on, and I was kind of writing a script with somebody, and I'm just like, all right, whatever, they're not going to win it. I will say this, just some observations. Pete Crow Armstrong, people love that guy. And he's a dynamic player. He's great defense. He steals bases. He reminds me of, and for those of you who are Cub fans that might be listening, Javi Baez, like, chases bad pitches like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, he did that. I mean, he did do that last night. I mean,
I've been watching him do that for 2 months, and I don't see, like, how, I mean, I know he's young. He
yes,
did it better.
But. Yes. You know, he almost had that, he almost robbed that home run from Jackson Chirio.
I heard that on sports radio. That's right. The guy is giving effort. Listen, Con, if you want to dish it out right now, that's fine. But don't think I will not turn this around at some point.
Okay. No, it's, I'm excited to see game three.
I hope it's at least a series. I would love for the Cubs to come back and win two games and force a game five, just for the excitement and the drama. And I would say that even if I wasn't a Cub fan, I love the last game of a series.
I had some Cubs friends that are Cubs fans, and they're like, "Well, we're going up to Wrigley North."
And what? Wrigley North. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they say. But now I was like, "Yeah, we're going to AmFam South now."
It'll be interesting to see. Because I do believe, like, I think sports fans are intense if they're intense sports fans. But, like, you might have a better chance. Like, I think in a really huge city like Chicago or L.A., going to sporting events is also kind of like a networking thing. You get your fanatics there, which is great. But I don't know. And maybe I'm just generalizing. Maybe it's just as bad in Milwaukee. But people have tickets and they're like, I'm not going to go. I'll just get rid of them. But. It seems like mostly Brewer fans the last couple nights.
It was loud last night.
Yeah.
Super loud. You could hear it through the TV or the radio.
Yeah. Well, it should be interesting game. I think they could have handled another game today, though. I don't think you need to. I mean, all year they play breakneck schedules, six games a week.
Yeah.
Why do you need all this time? The Brewers have had enough time off. They look fresh.
It's just the playoff schedule now after the wild card, you know?
Yeah.
It's good. It's kind of good to see. Well, not really. I don't know. The Dodgers are just winning against the Phillies, and it's two teams that have million-dollar payrolls.
Who, the Dodgers and Phillies?
Yeah,
yeah. I went to a lot of Dodger games when I lived in L.A. They're a great organization, but I have not followed them. And they were my son Joe's team when he was growing up. Because now he's switched. It's funny. Like, did you follow your dad's teams?
No, actually, I was really independent when it came to picking my teams when I was young.
Okay.
And then I went back to Wisconsin when I was like, I don't know, 12 or something. I was like, why am I cheering for teams that I used to like the Dodgers because of Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp.
Yeah.
But I was like,
why am I cheering for this team that's 2,000 miles away? Let's get to our question, because we have a good one tonight. I'm really curious to see if the social media responses are any indication. This should be a good question. It's divided. We're a house divided, but let's go to the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What are your thoughts on the Kerner Burger? It is back. The thing that started as a joke at a Wisconsin institution like Culver's. People didn't like that it was a joke, so they actually created this, the Kerner Burger. And now it comes out annually. What are your thoughts on the Kerner Burger? Oh, man, I thought about this for about a half a second, and I didn't change my mind. I'm not a Kerner Burger fan. My response was, love the Kerner and the burger separately, but it's an unholy union. I can't do the Kerner Burger. It just looks gross. So that's where I'm at. I'll start us off. I'm anti, and I like Culver's. I like their food. I can't do the Kerner Burger.
I agree. Something about a curd in the shape of a burger, I can't do. I haven't tried it, though. Maybe I'll try it someday, but I just don't think I'll like it because of how much stuff there is in that bite.
It's just, it's too much.
Exactly.
It's gluttony, and it's like just sodium and like, I can't think of a more unhealthy thing to eat, really.
See, with something like that thick, with has to be deep fried, I feel like you're going to taste the oil and the grease in it, you know?
I would say if you want crunch, sprinkle a few croutons on the burger and put an extra slice of cheese. Yeah, the deep fried thing, that's That's concerning. But even the people that like it say it can be a bit much. Like, they like it, they'll eat it, and then they're done. Kind of like me with fish fries. I'll just completely go crazy, gluttony with a fish fry, and then I won't eat one for a year. I think some people feel the same way about the Critter Burger. But let's put it out there. The question is out there. We got some great social media responses. Let us know where you stand. What are your thoughts on the Critter Burger? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad and I are both, I mean, we're not haters, but we just don't like it. So let us know what you think. You can also text us on the app, or if you're watching the radio on the stream on X, YouTube, or Facebook, let us know there. Drop us a stream comment. And you won't be chastised for your answer. It's good old American fast food. Go for it. I honestly can't, I don't think I can think of anything worse, though, like that really grosses me out more. There's a place in Madison that has, like, I think it's called Conrad's. They have tater tots and everything.
Oh, really? I own it?
It's called Conrad's with a C.
Oh, never mind.
So you can't even be a
silent partner.
I was hoping
I had a secret business that I made millions from.
Yeah, because that happens. Oh, apparently I had a business I didn't even know about. But they put tater tots in everything. Salad, on a burger, and, you know, that's potatoes. Okay, I guess I could go for that. But then they have wraps. I don't know. I mean, but it doesn't look good, but maybe it tastes good, I guess.
I'm a good tot type of guy. I really like tots.
I do too.
I think in a wrap, that'll be like a breakfast wrap. Ooh, that would be
like
good.
Like a chipotle sauce or something.
Yeah,
or
some tots
sauce.
And eggs and a little sprinkle
tots
of bacon.
Tots and eggs is great. That's hash browns. Yeah, I get it. It just doesn't, it didn't look like, they have all these pictures on the outside of the window, and it just doesn't look that appetizing.
Okay.
But it looks better than the Critter
Burger. So you're telling them they need some better advertisement.
They need to paint a prettier picture is what I'm saying. I'm not going to tell anybody how to do their business, especially if you're getting points on the back end, even though your name is spelled wrong. So we got that. So let us know, folks. Be part of the fun. Tell us what your thoughts are on the Critter Burger. I noticed this, and this really bummed me out. Apple TV went up. Did you know that? The price of Apple TV?
It did it. Oh, man.
$3 a month. It was $9.99. Now it's $12.99. And it happened in August, and I didn't even notice it. But honest to God, that's how they get you. It's like first, oh yeah, streaming. There's no commercials and all the shows come out at once. Well, now that's not true. And there's commercials and they jacked it up. They've taken the fun out of TV watching.
You know, I feel like they haven't put out anything in a decent amount of time where I actually wanted to go back to it.
Apple TV?
Yeah, there's nothing like new that, because I'll just take a look at it if I'm looking for like, what kind of things do I want to watch tonight? And I'll go on Apple TV. I'm like, okay, nothing has changed since I checked last time a month ago.
Well, the new season of Slow Horses is out. That's how. But again, like with streaming, cancel it. There's no contracts.
Yeah.
And my wife and I keep trying to do this, and I just forget. And I'm like, I don't need Apple TV for 2 months. That'd save me $25 now, $26. And then I'll get it for a month, and I'll watch everything for a month. I'll focus on Apple TV. I just don't do that, unfortunately. So, but that is... I agree, though. They should be putting out, and they put out movies like this movie I watched the other night, Highest to Lowest, the Spike Lee Denzel Washington movie. You know, that was free on Apple TV, but not really. I mean, it just depends on how much of their stuff you watch, I guess. But I don't know. That really kind of bummed me out. I mean, $13.
Yeah, it's... Why do they need to keep going up? They already make enough money from everything else.
Because it's Apple, right? I mean, they're like one of the biggest media companies in the world, but like, I don't get, and they do it because people pay it, but I think people, if they stop paying it, if there was some way we could all come together and not give into this, I would be totally on board with that. Let's look into this during the break.
Everyone cancel Apple TV, right?
Yeah, right now. Go. So we do post our question too on social media, folks. So every day the question goes out on Facebook. You can go to Facebook and answer it. If you can't listen to the show, we'll respond if we can. Give us a like or a follow if you're on Facebook or one of our streaming services. And let us know how you feel about the Critter Burger. Jim Flanagan is here at 6:35, Chicago-based comedian who has a big show coming up outside of Milwaukee. Very funny guy. And then Door County-based comedian Asher Brooks will be here as well. It's all about the comedy tonight, folks. We're going to talk about, I'm going to tell you my thoughts on Bad Bunny when we come back playing the Super Bowl. Some people are not happy. So we'll do that, and we'll read some of your texts. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. On the day that I was born, I waved and flagged.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. August 25th, a Utah judge ordered a new congressional redistricting map drawn after finding the legislature had violated the state constitution. October 6th, the legislature defiantly passed a new gerrymandered map. The legislature had previously passed legislation to neutralize Better Boundaries Proposition 4, a voter-approved independent redistricting commission passed in 2018. It ignored the commission's maps and created its own gerrymandered maps benefiting the Republican Party. Both acts were ruled unconstitutional. Third District Court Judge Diana Gibson set November 10th as a deadline for choosing a new map. October 6th, the legislature selected option C as their choice. The map, while slightly more competitive, appears to still lock in U.S. House seats for Republicans, according to the Utah News-Dispatch. It also passed a bill changing Proposition 4's language and requirements. The legislature is not the only stakeholder proposing maps. Plaintiffs, Mormon Women for Ethical Government and the League of Women Voters, also submitted two options on October 6th, both of which comply with Proposition 4's original criteria. Republicans argue only the legislature can approve the final map, not a judge, and hinted at impeachment if she doesn't approve the legislature's map. We've linked to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. It's a laugh fest here tonight. We've got two comedians on the show. Jim Flanagan and Asher Brooks will be joining us over the course of the next hour and a half or so. And we will talk about some upcoming shows here in Door County and one outside of Milwaukee in the Sussex area. That's where Jim Flanagan will be performing. And Asher is one of the owners, I believe, of the Firehouse Comedy Club in Sturgeon Bay. And he is also a very funny comedian as well. So we'll talk a little comedy. This Bad Bunny stuff, when did people start losing their minds when they don't agree with an artist at the Super Bowl? I'm not a huge country music fan. I was never a huge rap fan. And if people said it was one of those artists at the Super Bowl, I'd go, oh, okay, I don't have to watch. But now people are in their core are outraged. Is that the only reason you watch the Super Bowl is because that's how you listen to new music, is the Super Bowl halftime show? It doesn't make any sense. Go get a snack. That's what I do. It's so odd.
Yeah.
Relax.
Like last year it was, you know, Kendrick was on there and I thought it was a fine show.
Yeah.
This year I don't understand a lot of Bad Bunny's music, but I'll still listen to it because I really like the show around the halftime show.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Everything.
It's
behind
a spectacle.
The scenes.
Yeah. It's lights and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I've never heard one word of Bad Bunny's music, but I'll probably have my eye to the TV just to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Kendrick Lamar last year, I didn't know any of his music either, but I watched it. I thought it was a pretty cool performance. And when I read about it, I was like, wow, a lot went into that. And I had an appreciation of it. I'm not going back and rewatching it, but I just don't know why people lose their minds over this stuff. It's a football game.
Yeah.
Is this how you find new music? Probably not a good idea.
You know, it's to the point where whatever name is said, someone's
going to have an issue.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, if it was like, it was Springsteen and U2, Oh, I'm excited. I'll watch the whole Super Bowl. Oh, it's not somebody I like. Okay. So it blows my mind. It's such wasted anger and energy, but whatever. Hey, you had a, I want to talk about gym attire because you told me something earlier and I'm probably the guy at the gym that other people would have an opinion on too, but I'll let you go first. What did you see at the gym today?
Well, I just saw someone in sandals with no socks and just open toe. And I was like, you know, it's kind of gross to just have that open and toe in the gym, but also it's a major safety hazard if you think about it.
Well, it is, but if you drop a 50-pound weight on your foot, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
Sandals are not. I mean, but I agree with you. The look of it is kind of like, I don't need to see your hairy toes while you're doing squat thrusts, you know?
I'm just saying a shoe can't help out with, you know, maybe not the injury, but also if you have a sandal on, I feel like your nails are going to get more injured.
You're worried about another dude's toenails. Hey, come on, buddy. Safety hazard.
You don't want to chop up them toenails.
Well, here's why I can't really, I go to the gym 2 times per 7 days and I do this weight routine. It's not much. I'm there for 30 minutes. I do the bare minimum just to keep some resistance training. But I don't change my clothes. Like I'll go in pants and like a shirt with a collar or like a whatever. And I'm just like, I'm not going home to put on spandex and high tops and a headband to go back to the gym for 30 minutes. It's on my way. I barely break a sweat because I'm not hitting the treadmill. I just lift some weights and I don't overdo it. I'm not entering any contests. So you know, I know people look at me though and go, oh, that's an interesting shirt. What are you making your first communion after you lift weights here or what?
You know, there is something you could do. You know, what I do is I bring a gym bag.
Yeah.
And then has my gym clothes in it.
Okay, but still, I have to go into the locker room. It takes you 10 minutes. It's all about time with me. I want to get home. I don't want to be at Planet Fitness.
Makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
You know? But I get that, and I don't, like, it's fine with me. I like that people put a little effort into how they look at the gym, but I'm just not one of those people.
Yeah, I don't really put too much. I just grab a pair of shorts and a t-shirt I can find. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to have the same clothes that I come to work in and, you know, that I worked out in. So
do you wear a jock strap?
It depends what day.
Oh, it's Tuesday.
Jock strap day.
Does anybody wear those anymore? I remember you couldn't even like in the 70s and 80s, you had to wear it for gym for whatever. And then it's like, no, I don't. Do people still wear them?
I have never worn one.
I mean, to work out. I wear one every day anyway, just to go about my daily routine, but not to the gym. I wouldn't do that. Let's read some, we've got some stream text here. We'll get to our question of the day, folks. What are your thoughts on the Kerner Burger? It is back at Culver's. 820 calories a pop. You get your cheese curds and your meat all on the same sandwich. So let us know how you feel about that. Dave on the stream says, I'd try it if it's free. You know what? I'd probably do that too. I'd take a few bites at least because it just looks too unappealing to me. Dave also says, I'm kind of scared of it. Totally with you, Dave. And then Dave says, where are you, Sid? They're text buddies.
They are.
They're stream buddies. I love that. Dave says, it originally came out on my birthday, which is National Cheese Curd Day, October 15th. All right. You got to remind me Dave's birthday is coming up. Take a memo. Okay. Let's not forget.
We'll sing happy birthday.
Sing happy birthday. He says, it's sold out in 10 minutes. That can't be true. 10 minutes?
I'm not surprised.
I think it's, I don't know. Okay. Sarah Jean on social media says, the curd burger, 18,000 exclamation points. Yes, 100 exclamation points. I look forward to getting one each year. Maybe two, but then I'm good. I could see that. Thank you, Sarah Jean. Our pal Luke Mathers. I knew Luke was going to love the curd burger. Didn't you just know that?
I feel like he's a curd burger guy.
Curd hoarder. It's the best thing on the Culver's menu, and that's saying a lot. Luke Mather, Civic Media Zone, and then our pal Rich LoCascio says, can you order it lettuce wrapped? Oh, my God. I would pay money to see Rich I want it because it's deep fried. It's not animal style.
I'll take a curder burger lettuce wrap, please.
Hey, when we come back after the news, comedian Jim Flanagan is here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's have some laughs. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Anyway,
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Republican state lawmakers are circulating new legislation for co-sponsorship aimed at banning the future use of absentee ballot drop boxes in Wisconsin. Absentee ballot drop boxes had initially been banned following a 2022 decision by the conservative-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court. That decision was overturned in 2024 with a liberal majority on the state's highest court. Even if the measure gains enough support to advance through the Republican-controlled state legislature, the bill would likely be vetoed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers. A Waukesha County judge has ordered the Wisconsin Elections Commission to start verifying the citizenship of both already registered voters and new applicants. The court order was issued by Circuit Court Judge Michael Maxwell on Friday, but does not specify exactly how the Wisconsin Elections Commission and local clerks should go about verifying citizenship for new voters. Judge Maxwell also called for the new process to be substantially completed prior to February's election, but his decision could be appealed and stayed before that. The Barron County Sheriff's Office is sharing additional details on the investigation into the shooting at a Candy Lane residence in the city of Barron last week. According to a press release, the 17-year-old suspect has died as a result of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Authorities say the 17-year-old female victim, who was in a relationship with the suspect and pregnant, is in stable condition in the hospital. The child was also delivered in the hospital due to the injuries she sustained and is doing well. A male victim was pronounced deceased at the scene. Healthy Washco is inviting area residents to its upcoming second annual mental health wellness walk this week. Organization officials say the walk is meant to raise awareness and highlight the need for mental health resources in rural communities. The event will be held on Saturday beginning at 10 a.m. on the Spooner High School track. Registration for the walk is free, but residents can also purchase shirts at the event or online. The proceeds will cover the cost of the shirts, and any remaining funding will go towards supporting the Oak Youth Center. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH. Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Freeze warning overnight, mostly clear, areas of frost, lows in the upper 20s. We'll look for sunshine for tomorrow, highs in the upper 50s, and continued warming for Thursday and Friday, with sun, highs in the mid-60s. It's 55 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down till we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by Emily Cherniak, founder and executive director of New Politics, an organization designed to help build the Democratic pipeline of candidates who are truly ready to lead.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Yeah.
welcome back to Nightlight. Well, we've got a lot of interesting responses here for our question of the night. Your dad had a good idea, too. We'll read all those texts coming up, but our question of the night is, how do you feel about the Kurter Burger? Conrad and I are not fans, but we admit we haven't. Have you tried one? You haven't tasted one.
I have not.
I just can't.
I've tried their burgers, and I've tried their curds.
And you just don't see a marriage there.
Not a whole curd burger like. Yeah,
that's
kind of
how I am, too. Well, we're getting a little judgment here. People thinking we need to try it first. But we'll read those texts coming up, and we'll get to those. But in the meantime, we'd love to know how you feel about the Kurter Burger at Culver's, our once-a-year. It is once a year, right?
Yeah, I believe they only do it for a certain amount of weeks, and then they're done.
If there's ever a time during the year I'm looking to put on weight, I'll probably...
There you go.
Yeah. But right now, folks, I'm excited. It is my pleasure to welcome back to Nightlight a very funny Chicago-based stand-up comedian who is will be in Wisconsin soon doing a show outside Milwaukee. We'll talk to him about that and many other things. He joins us now over the stream, Mr. Jim Flanagan. Hey, buddy.
Pete, Conrad, how are you guys?
We're doing great. I like that hat.
Oh, thanks, man. It's the Morton Arboretum.
Is that in Madison? No, that's in Chicago.
Actually in suburban Chicagoland. That's right. Yeah, okay. Lyle, Illinois. Where I like to go hike around there quite a bit.
Nice. There used to be a Laugh Factory in Lyle. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to ask you about the Kurter. Let's start with the Kurter Burger, actually. People don't need to know what arboretums I visited over the years. I'd rather talk about meat and cheese pushed into one. You guys have Culver's in Chicago, and it seems like they're popular wherever they go. How do you feel about the Kurter Burger, Jim? Have you tried one?
I haven't, but I got to be honest, I've been listening for a little bit, and I decided to look it up. And I don't know if you guys have dove into the nutrition and ingredients at all. This is fascinating. The beef patty is only 170 calories, and the Kurter Burger cheese crown is 310 calories. So it's like twice as much curd as it is burger.
Right. And it's deep fried. I mean, I just looked at the calories. I know it has 820 total, but that sodium content has got to be through the roof.
Insane. 1,550 milligrams. When you're that much, you just start calling it grams. Right? You don't need to go milligrams when you're over 1,000.
Oh, that's great. Well, again, I think most people that like it say they have it once and just like maybe to do it or for the experience, and then they're done. It's not like everybody's going out to get a Kurter Burger every day for lunch unless you're playing varsity football and need to add weight for some reason.
I think that's the point, is like to get people talking about it, right? Like,
yeah,
this is what they want.
This is what they want. I'm happy to help Culver's. They're a fine organization. I love their food. I'm just saying. I did draw the line.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack?
Yeah, please.
What I like to do is I always get the Culver kids meal because it's everything you want. It's a drink, it's fries, it's a burger, and you get a free scoop of frozen custard.
Oh, nice.
And now it's perfect until they're like, can I get a name? And I have to say Jim, because I don't think of, like, I don't have children. You know what I mean? I'm not like thinking of a kid's name.
Right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car. Like, and I pull around, it's just me, you know? And they're like, oh, a kid wanted a Coke Zero, huh? That's really popular among the youngsters nowadays.
I got to get this home to the little guy. Pack it up. Yeah.
Exactly. Before this custard melts. You know what? I'll just eat it for him.
Have you ever gone? I've done this too, and I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell when I'm just starving or whatever, and I'll order so much food I have to pretend I'm ordering it for someone else too. Like, I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. And then I'll order it. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
I'll do you one better. Not only do I do that in drive-thrus, but I also do that, like, I did that the other day at the car wash. I was like, yeah, these kids have been getting all these food crumbs all over my driver's seat. Like, I don't want to take responsibility for my actions. So I, like, have a fake family that just gets the brunt of everything that I have to deal with, you know? The other day I went to return something at the store that was like $8, and the lady was very annoyed that we're going through this for $8. And I was like, ah, the wife will get mad if I don't return it. Like, what? Why am I making up these people?
Oh, that's so great. That's like, do you ever rent an adult film? Who do you put that on?
I have for my family, you know? They want to see it, not me. These kids got to learn somehow. Can't trust the school.
Oh, the little woman sent me out. Can you recommend a good title? I don't know. It's good to see you, buddy. I'm so glad you're here. Let's start with Sussex, Wisconsin. I actually know Sussex. I have cousins that were born and raised in Sussex, the Murphy clan. And it's a lovely area, but what's going on stand-up-wise there? You got a gig there.
I am. I'm doing a show at the Thirsty Duck, which is the most Wisconsin bar name I can think. Like, it's great. I love everything about it. I believe it's like a school tiny bowling alley.
Okay.
The type where, like, they use the little bowling ball. I really probably should have looked this up before I started talking about it. But you know what I'm talking about? It's like, maybe it's can pin bowling where they use a tiny bowling ball.
Yeah.
And in the basement, they have a comedy show going on.
Yeah.
Duck pin bowling.
Yes,
there
that's
it. Thank you.
And that's where it is.
And they're doing a comedy show. Yep, okay. Absolutely. So it's going to be October 25th. I'm there with Calvin Evans and Sarah Perry. Honestly, too good of a lineup for basement of a duck pin bowling alley, but it's going to be really fun. If anyone wants to come out, we'd love to see you guys there. I love Sussex area too, Pete. I actually dated a woman from Sussex for a few years in my late 20s, early 30s. And she was just Milwaukee. And that's not true when you're coming from Chicago. It is.
Wait, like, sorry, you cut out, Jim. I think I missed the punchline. You dated her and then you cut out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah. She would always tell me, like, when we started dating, she told me it was just past Milwaukee. And that is not true. It is. It's another 40. You have to go, like, through Milwaukee, past it's a suburb of Waukesha, I like to think of it as. It's really more than a suburb of Milwaukee. It's way out there, but it's a beautiful community.
So what happened? She didn't want to leave Sussex at the end of the day or what?
She did. She actually moved into Chicago for a while. Oh, and then the hustle and bustle eventually got to her. And she was like, you know, I need to get back up north. So we had a good run. No,
that's good.
There.
I will say this. Sussex, when my aunt and uncle, my uncle Pat and Aunt Sharon, Pat Murphy, if you will, Brewers manager, it's not the same guy, but they moved out to Sussex from right in Milwaukee. And you could see downtown Milwaukee. They lived on a hill. It was stunning. And hardly anybody was out there. And now there are trees all over the place. It's like a subdivision. It's become an actual suburb. So the growth is incredible. So my point is, you should have a ton of people, whether they're bowling, duckpin bowling, or just want to see some comedy.
Yeah, no, I've done the show once before, and they get a great turnout. So I'm really looking forward to coming back. I really do enjoy the community, too. It's there is so much to do there. I didn't think so as a young man in my late 20s, but they really have built it up a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if you felt this way, and it's been forever since I was a working comedian, but I always loved Wisconsin audiences. Like, I was based out of Chicago, like you, loved going to Milwaukee, loved going to Madison. I even worked Green Bay a couple times. They had a club here for a while. Do you find that with Wisconsin crowds, and are they different from Chicago crowds?
Not just because I'm on your show, Pete, but I really believe that Wisconsin comedy audiences are the best in the country. I mean,
oh, wow, nice.
I've gone to some weird places that you would never expect anyone to be able to get to, much less actually find their way there. One time, gosh, I wish I could remember the name of the town. Town, maybe 1,500 people. It was there was a blizzard. The Badgers were playing Duke in the Elite Eight.
Tournament. Yeah.
I mean, like, everything going against us. And we sold out two shows. And at the end of the night, I just asked some people, I'm like, where are you here? And they were like, well, because you're here. We're not gonna have you come to town and not be there. And like, they were just so excited for people to be coming to their town. You know what I mean? They like felt it was
so
a point
great.
Of pride that like, we have to show up. And they're just the best audiences. They just want to have a good time. I really love performing in Wisconsin. There's nothing like it.
I agree, and I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm glad they're still great audiences, because they truly. And I agree with you. And I used to say this: the Comedy Cafe in Milwaukee was my favorite room to work in the entire country. It was, I don't know. They just packed it, and they were great crowds. So I hope you have that same success in Sussex on October 24th. My guest is Jim Flanagan. He is a Chicago-based stand-up comedian. You can see him in Sussex, Wisconsin, October 24th. What's the name of the place again, Jim?
The Thirsty Duck.
Thirsty Duck, right. Okay. And that's October 24th. Should people just call the venue if they want to bowl or laugh?
If you if you go to the Thirsty Ducks website, they've got a link for tickets and all of that there. So definitely check it out if you're in the area.
Here's the catch, and I think this is strange. Even when you just go there to watch comedy, they make you rent shoes which maybe that'll catch on. I don't know.
Pete, do you want to come out and do some time? He's locked in. What? Come do a set.
No, I can't be terrified. But I do think it'd be funny. Couldn't you just see that? Like, you go up to the counter, I like, need to get some shoes, and the guy goes, comedy or bowling? You can use that if you're really, if you're not humoring me, Jim, take the joke. If you're humoring me,
fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm going to try it, and I'm going to give you credit just in case there's any Nightlight fans out there who show up to Sussex. I don't want them thinking I'm just stealing your material. I'll give you credit on stage.
Oh, I hope they show up. I think it's great. I think you're a tremendous comedian. And when you – it's interesting. I was looking for a clip to play of you tonight, and I saw you did a set in the on YouTube. It said Nateland, and I assume that's Nate Bargatze. Are you like – this guy's going to take over the whole world eventually. I know he wants to create a theme park and he's hosting award shows and he's a great comic, but how does that work? How did you get on that show? Are you guys friends or did he see you somewhere? Do you have to be chosen for that? How does that work?
Yeah, he saw a clip and actually the day I filmed that set was the first time I ever got to meet him, and he couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been just, you know, more involved in the process and wanted us to just feel like a normal comedy show. You know, he didn't want it to feel like a big production because he wanted us to just be relaxed and do what we do and not worry about it being something larger than that. But he really does. He likes showcasing clean comedy, you know, and
yeah.
He knows I'm not fully clean, but he knows that, like, I can work clean. And I think that's a big part of his brand, and he wants to be able to get that out there to more people. This last weekend, I was in Birmingham with a guy named Derek Stroop, who's kind of blowing up right now, under the Nateland umbrella. It was just open for him filming his Netflix special. So it really is, like, there's this whole kind of Joe Rogan, Theo Von world of comedy out there.
Right.
But there's also this fascinating dynamic, like this counterculture of, like, clean comedy. And again, like, if you come to the Duck, I'm going to curse, you know, but I'm not going to let the good people of Sussex only hear the clean stuff. You know, I'm going to give them everything I got. But like, it's just fascinating to see that there's such a market for this. And there are so many people who want stuff that they can, you know, they can take the whole family to a show, right?
Yeah.
They don't have to worry about grandma and their grandkids. And right now we're so divided. It's kind of nice to have something for everybody.
I agree. And I, to me, it's always been like, I just want to laugh. I don't care. Like, I've worked with, used to work with guys who could be dirty. And if they were funny doing that, I'm fine with that. You know, or if they're clean, that's great too. And maybe I'm a little more in awe that they could be totally clean, like a Brian Regan or Nate Bargatze, because, you know, it's harder to do that a little bit. But I swore sometimes and I never really paid attention to it. But I just, I'm with you though. I think if you're funny, you're funny. Do your thing, you know?
And I think that's the midpoint you want to be, right? You don't want people going, oh, he was funny for a clean comic, or he was funny for a dirty comic. It was just like, oh, that was a really funny comic. And that's kind of where I'm trying to get to. And I think you're in that same boat. And it's funny what people, that's another thing. Everyone has a different consideration of what is clean or what is dirty.
Yeah.
So you might not swear, but you might touch on topics that some people. So I don't love the labels. What I love that Nate does, though, is he says, these people are going to be clean when you see them on my programming, and my content. And I can't speak for anything else they do.
All right, we're coming right back. Jim Flanagan is here. We'll continue this on the other side of a very short break. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Are you Sally Flores, organizing director for the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition?
So you're okay with undermining the will of the voter? Great. Just, do you see how terrible that sounds? And when I translate gerrymandering to Spanish, it just means manipulating election results. That's exactly what gerrymandering is. But in Spanish, the wow effect, oh my God, even in the U.S., manipulates election results. And I was like, yes. And they have a fancy word for it. They've covered it up with almost unimaginable word.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I could feel at the time there was no way of knowing falling leaves in the night.
Welcome back to Nightlights. I'm Pete Schwabe. Our question of the night is, how do you feel about the Kurter Burger, folks? 820 calories of glory if you like it. A little too much if you don't, but let us know, and we will get to your texts soon. Great to have you with me on this Tuesday night as we broadcast statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay. A gorgeous night. Hope it is wherever you are listening from. My guest is Jim Flanagan, a very funny stand-up comedian. You can see him in Sussex, Wisconsin at the Thirsty Duck, October 24th. It sounds like it's going to be a blast. He's worked the room before. Jim, I have to ask you, I think most comics hate being asked this. Where, I can't believe I'm saying this to you, where do you get your material? Like, you have such great takes on things, and we have a clip of you, too, I'd like to play at some point, but I love your stuff on dating and that when you got in the car accident. Like, is it everyday stuff, and how do you write? Do you sit down every day and write at a particular time or just jot stuff down when it comes to you? Oh, we don't have, is he muted? I think you're muted, Jim.
Check.
Oh, there we go. Now we gotcha. No, we don't. Is Jim?
How about now? Check, check, check.
Yeah, we're good. There you go, buddy.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about that. I wish I had a better answer, but I kind of wait for things to happen to me. I really do. I wish I was like a sit and write every day, and I try to, but not a whole lot comes out of it. So. Like the car accident, you were talking about that, different things that happened to me kind of give me an opportunity to write something. And I do, you know, it's not the only thing, but like, there is this weird thing when something bad happens to you as a comedian, you're like, oh boy, here we go again. you know, I'm back, you know? So there's a party that kind of needs things to go wrong, but I think I'm pretty experiential in my comedy. So I think that for me, a lot of it is going out and living life. I spent most of the summer doing cruise ships in Alaska, and kind of hard to like come up with a lot out of that. But then I started kind of, I've just been writing about the overall experience, because people will just, you shouldn't live with your audience, I think is my main takeaway from doing stand up on cruise ships, is like, you shouldn't, you know, move in with them for a while. All you want to do is show and leave. And then the next day at breakfast, one guy goes, hey, you're Flanagan, the comedian. I go, yeah. He goes, I didn't care for it.
Okay, great. No. Thank you very much. Could have just not talked. You know, just here for eggs.
Eat my eggs, Benedict, in peace. Get out of
That's
here.
It. That's all.
Wow.
I want. Another time I was in an elevator, a lady and her husband get on the elevator, and she goes, oh, you're the comedian. Let's take a photo. And we took a photo. And then I go, thanks. Did you enjoy the show? And she goes, oh, we didn't like it. And I've thought about that lady every day since, Pete. I hope her whole camera roll is just full of pictures of things she didn't do on her vacation. You know?
Oh, my.
Like, this is the comedian we didn't see. This is the hotel we didn't stay at. And this is the Great Wall of China.
Oh, that's hilarious. I always liked when you get compliments. Like, I remember I was working with Vince Maranto, who I'm sure you know. We were in Lancaster, right, Pennsylvania, and these two girls came up to us after the show, and one of them said, you guys weren't bad. It's like, okay, thank you. Like, she was like right in the middle, but if she had to lean one way, it would be bad. But it kind of killed her to say it, you know? It's just terrible. Just don't say anything.
Oh, I love that. I had one where first ship I ever did, I had a pretty rough set. And I think that's to be expected because it's really hard work out there. I mean, I learned a lot about, you know, you're just entertaining people who are just on vacation. Like, it's a very different vibe. But I was leaving like the fancy restaurant my last day, hat on, head down. And I just hear a guy yell, Mr. Flannery, which is close enough. I knew he was talking to me. And so I stop and I turn, and he yells throughout like the dining hall, I just wanted you to know we enjoyed it, which was the worst compliment,
right?
Because he's just sharing that we know the rest of you didn't care for it, okay? But we disagree with everyone else. We enjoyed our time.
Oh, that
you talk.
Is I mean, so great. There was a funny,
wild.
You know, Mike Toomey, right? You're pals with Mike.
Very well.
Yeah. Love him. One of my best friends. And he told me a story once about how this DJ was the MC, and he called him Chris Timey or Termy or something like that once. And then Mike forgot his coat, and he had a bad set, and this guy had tortured his name all night. So he had to walk back in front of the DJ booth to get his coat, and the DJ sees him and goes, hey, how about another hand one more time, ladies and gentlemen, for Mr. Chris Mute. Like, people are clapping. He's like, never got his name right once. Oh, so great. So Jim, you're like a clean cut guy, very funny, likable. Do you ever see yourself branching out from stand up or acting or making that transition at some point?
It was never something that really interested me. I mean, I kind of got into stand up for the stand up, you know, which isn't always what people want. Sometimes people get into it to do something else. But in this day and age, you kind of have to be open, whatever. So I've been doing a little more acting in sketches and things like that recently. Okay. And nowadays, so much of it's DIY, and just posting stand-up clips isn't enough. So, you know, I think there has to be a little more involvement, whether I like it or not, in doing other things, doing more podcasting, doing more acting, you know?
Right.
But I've never – one time I did a sketch with some friends, and afterwards one of my best friends called me, just played myself in the sketch, and I did such a bad job that my friend called me and goes – you cannot play a convincing Jim Flanagan to save your life. I don't know what it is about that character. It's the one you know the most, but you just can't do it. And I think they're right. I think I'm better as other people than I am playing myself in something. So perhaps I do need to branch out a little further into acting.
That's so funny that you say that, because I remember when I started, there was a guy in our group, and he goes, I just want to get my cop show. I just want to get a cop show. He wanted to be a cop on a cop show, and he's a stand-up comic. I'm like, you know, I don't know if this is the best path for that. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but just crazy stuff. And sometimes people end up doing stuff that they never saw themselves doing. But I think you would crush it as an actor. And I don't know. But I want to ask you more stuff like that. Can you hang with us for a few more minutes after the news, Jim?
I sure can.
All right. Outstanding. Jim Flanagan is here. Chicago-based Jim Flanagan. We've also got a Door County-based comedian coming up on the show later. We will cover all of that. I'll recap the show when we come back, and we'll have a few more minutes with our pal Jim Flanagan. Great to have you here. How do you feel about the Curter Burger, folks? Text us. Let us know. We'll read it on the radio. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And smoke flying, I was tired of fighting fate. Time to douse those flames. I learned that.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Dave Packer. President Trump threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act if courts block his attempts to deploy National Guard troops in cities like Chicago and Portland, Oregon. ABC's Trevor Ault outside an ICE facility in Portland and says there have been protests, but they've been limited.
You have President Trump claiming that demonstrators and protesters, violent criminals, in his word, are burning down the city, whereas the police chief and local officials are saying that the demonstrations here are happening really on a single block of a 145-square-mile city.
The government shutdown now entering the second week. President Trump warning there is not guaranteed back pay for federal workers. That reverses a long-standing policy. Attorney General Pam Bondi defending herself before a Senate committee's accusations today that she's turning the Justice Department into an instrument of President Trump's vengeance. The Supreme Court today considering whether states can restrict LGBTQ conversion therapy. This is ABC News.